Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Do you know this is my favorite season of the year, Advent? I love it. I love to anticipate. I love to look forward. And this earthly desire gives way to a truly godly desire to long for His coming, to long for His coming again. How much do you long for the Lord? Scripture says He is our help and our shield. Scripture says He is our Father and our brother. Scripture tells us He is our Savior and our Redeemer. How much do you long for Him? How much do you cry out to Him? Save us, Savior of the world. Save us. Help us. Help me. Save me. For thousands and thousands of years, a people longed for a Messiah, longed for a Savior, listened to the prophets, looked and strained their eyes, literally looking for Him, waiting for Him. And He did come. And now we know that He has come. And yet we so often run around trying to find our satisfaction in earthly gods, so small g. Earthly gods, earthly desires, money, sex, power, those are the things we obey. Where are we? We're lost. In many ways, we're lost. We're not oriented in the right direction, and so everything goes flying off the charts. You know it, I know it, we see it. In personal lives, in the lives of states and governments, in the lives of nations, we're so off course because we don't have our sights set right. We should join the voices of those in the Old Testament who cried out for God to save them, cried out for the Messiah to come. And we are the privileged ones who live in the time when the Messiah has come, when the gates to eternal life are open to us. Let's really cry out for Him. Let's really make Christ the center of our celebration this Christmas. That doesn't mean you have to put anything else aside. Just acknowledge Him. You know, when you celebrate the meal, certainly, as we should be doing every day, thank Him for the food that He has given you. When you go to open your gifts, thank Him first, who is the greatest gift we could ever receive. Every other gift we receive is a mere token compared to the living Son of God given to us for our salvation. Make your day a day of gratitude. Look for some psalms that are psalms of thanksgiving. Incorporate them into your day. Do something different. You don't have to pepper it. In other words, it doesn't have to be at every moment, but just take two or three times during the day where you stop. And just simply as a family or as a group of friends together, thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing in my life. Thank you for having this happen to us this year. Thank you for this blessing. And no matter what we haven't received, if we really look, there are things to be thankful for. Let's take time. Make that a part of our Christmas preparation and our Christmas celebration. So today, we look again at the prophet Isaiah, this time chapter 25, verses 6 to 10. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will provide for all peoples a feast of rich food and choice wines, juicy, rich food and pure choice wines. On this mountain, He will destroy the veil that veils all people, the web that is woven over all the nations. He will destroy death forever. That's what the prophet prophesied, and that's what God has done, that neither you nor I will die an eternal death unless we choose that. We will not die an eternal death because Christ died for us. We have the hope of heaven. The gates of heaven are not shut to us. They are open to us because of what Christ did. Do you acknowledge that? Do you thank him for that? We have a choice to choose heaven or to choose hell. And we are infinitely, unutterably stupid if we choose hell. Or sometimes we're so wounded, we make bad choices. God can change that. But if out of arrogance and pride, we reject God, then we're in trouble. In Christ, God made a way for you and me to live forever. Don't turn away from him. And if you have, turn back. Don't scoff at childlike faith. Look at it and begin to imitate it. Choose him as your father. Choose Jesus as your savior, your Lord, your brother. Choose him. Enter into the family of God into which you were baptized once many years ago. Choose him now yourself. Make that faith your own. On this mountain, he will destroy the veil that veils all peoples, the web that is woven over all the nations. He will destroy death forever. The Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces. The reproach of his people he will remove from the whole earth, for the Lord has spoken. If you die, no matter how much sorrow in your life, if you die loving him and seeking to follow him, he himself will wipe the tears from your eyes. On that day it will be said, "Behold our God, to whom we looked to save us. This is the Lord for whom we looked. Let us rejoice and be glad that he has saved us, for the hand of the Lord will rest on this mountain." Take time to thank him for what he's done. Take time to thank him that we can celebrate Christmas, that we really can celebrate it. Take time. Please take time to thank him. I can't say that often enough. I almost wish I could just keep saying it to the end of this program. Thank him. Turn to him. Acknowledge him. Love him. And everything else in your life, when you make those kinds of decisions to do that, everything else in your life will fall into place. I do mean that. If you get your priorities straight, everything else will fall into place. Psalm 23, I shall live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. The Lord is my shepherd. This is the psalm by which we live on this earth. This is the psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. In verdant pastures, he gives me repose. Beside restful waters, he leads me. He refreshes my soul. When we choose him, when we seek to follow him, when we acknowledge that he is our Lord, then he leads us beside still waters and refreshes our soul. He guides me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk in the dark valley, I fear no evil, for you are at my side. And we all walk through dark valleys, and they're treacherous sometimes. But God is always at our side. With your rod and your staff, you give me courage. You spread the table before me in the sight of my foes. The table is spread for you and me every Sunday, every day. If we can go, the table is spread for us. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. You give me everything I need to live this life. But so many people, brothers and sisters, aren't even willing to acknowledge that God exists, and so they don't receive anything. Are you one of those? Are you one who has strayed so far that you can't believe that God loves you? You're starving because you're not feeding at the banquet table. You're starving. And life gets pretty difficult. Oh, it might seem marvelous for a while. Oh, I'm free now. I don't have to do anything I don't want to do. But then when the world crushes in on you, and when the world's values and systems almost destroy you, turn back before it's too late and come to the one who will guide you in right paths. Come to the one where you need fear no evil, because God is always at our side. Only goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's God's promise. God is always faithful to his promise. In this first week of Advent, make some decisions, simple decisions, but make a couple of decisions at least about seeking grace from God that you might grow in your faith. Take one or two truths of who God is or of how God acts in our lives and decide you're really going to reflect on them so that your faith can grow. It's one of the best preparations for Christmas you could ever have. And the gospel is the gospel of Matthew chapter 15, verses 29 to 37. At that time, Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, went up on the mountain, and sat down there. Great crowds came to him, having with them the lame, the blind, the deformed, the mute, and many others. They placed them at his feet, and he cured them. The crowds were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the deformed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind able to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. They knew God was in their midst. Jesus summoned his disciples and said, "My heart is moved with pity for the crowd, for they have been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. Look at the shepherd's concern. Do you think God is not concerned for you?" He was concerned because those thousands of people had nothing to eat. He was really concerned. He didn't just say, "Well, I healed them. That's enough. Let them go find food." No. He took care of every need. Do you think that he would ignore you? "I do not want to send them away hungry, for fear they may collapse on the way." Do you see how concerned Jesus is for us? Do you not think that the concern he had for the crowd is not the same as he has for us? "I do not want to send them away hungry, for fear they may collapse on the way." And the disciples said to him, "Where could we ever get enough bread in this deserted place to satisfy such a crowd?" See, they're thinking as human beings. They're thinking as men. There's this enormous crowd. We don't have any provisions. How could we feed them? We're going to have a riot on our hands, is what I think some of them must have thought. And Jesus said to them, "How many loaves do you have?" "Seven," they replied, "and a few fish." He ordered the crowd to sit down on the ground. Then he took the 7 loaves and the fish, gave thanks, broke the loaves, gave them to his disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were satisfied. They picked up the fragments left over, 7 baskets full. Brothers and sisters, God performed a miracle, and he will do so in your lives. Put your trust in him. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.